are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to another Thursday edition of Locked On NBA. I am Jackson Gatlin, host of Locked On Rockets. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. He is Matt Moore, senior NBA writer for the Action Network and co-host of Locked On Nuggets. And you can follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, we have an exciting slate of games to break down tonight. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. I feel like we're getting in the groove of this thing where we've been doing these big slates. We communicated through the night on which games we were going to watch. I made bad decisions on my choices tonight, Jackson. I chose the bad games to watch. It was early in the night. Got better as the night went on, but whoo!
Yeah, I mean, this night ended with some really exciting games. And we're going to start with some of the most exciting games of the night. We'll get to some of the lesser games a little bit on the way. But first, we got to tell you that this episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving community since 1965. Look, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Now, Matt, as we navigate this slate of games, where do you want to start first? We had a handful of games we designated as like our marquee games of the evening. Which one of those do you want to start with first? Because there were some good ones to pick from.
We need to head to the defending champs. That's where we need to start. Is the road to the title goes through Milwaukee, even though they started off the season slow. And they once again proved it tonight as Giannis Antetokounmpo looks at the performances by Nikola Jokic and Steph Curry as the way too early MVP leaders and goes, oh, hold on a second. Not so fast, my friends. 47 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 18 of 23 from the field, including 3 of 4 from 3 for the freak as the Bucks get past the Lakers 109-102. Jackson, my big takeaway from this, and this is something I'm working on for a piece at Action Network, the Lakers defense is in trouble, and it is not reasonable to expect LeBron James to fix it. You can get inside buckets whenever you want on this Lakers team. Giannis beasted over Anthony Davis. They're giving up the second most points off of cuts per game. This was a game that got close, and the Lakers were able to hang in there. But I really do think that the Bucks, to a degree, showed that even without Brook Lopez, like they just have a gear the Lakers can't quite get to. And defensively, I think the Lakers are in quite a bit of trouble.
Do you put more of the like onus on that on like an Anthony Davis type who, frankly, I will say, like, even in this game, you know, the Lakers were within striking distance. They were there. Yep. I mean, you know, Giannis exploded for 47. He didn't get a whole lot of support past that. Middleton, his first game back after missing the last 8 due to COVID. He had a couple timely 3-pointers kind of early in that fourth quarter to get the Bucks a little ahead, you know. But other than that, 4-12 shooting on the evening, only 16 points off the bench, all from Pat Connaughton. So, you know, the Bucks didn't play a beautiful game. It was just a Giannis masterclass.
Yep.
And then cobbled together with a little bit of support from the rest of his team. But from Anthony Davis, from that perspective, should he be shouldering more of that defensive load? Should he, you know, be taking, you know, putting the onus on himself for that? Or is it elsewhere you're seeing the problems?
I mean, I've kind of been on this train for a little bit. If you actually go back and you really, really, really pay attention to the Lakers, Davis has not quite lived up to the reputation. Like he's talked about as like a defensive player of the year candidate, like one of the most impactful players defensively in the league. Anthony Davis is a great defender. Great. I'm willing to say great. He's beatable. Like you can beat him, and he's gotten beat a lot this season. I've got videos up on Twitter about it. It's going to be an article on Action Network too. Like he's gotten beat, and he got beat tonight, and that's a problem. The whole thing with getting Russ was okay. LeBron can rest a little because now they've got Russ and AD, and that should get them past certain games. Now I think they got those for easier games, like I don't know versus the Thunder. But even in this spot, you know, you would expect them to like they should be able to have a chance. It doesn't feel like if they get a team's fastball, which the Bucks didn't even throw a fastball tonight, I don't know that the Lakers without LeBron can really hang in there. And I think that that's pretty concerning. They'll be better by the end of the year, but I do look at this team. Talen Horton-Tucker was great tonight. They got 25 from THT. They got 18 from Anthony Davis. They got 19 and 15 assists from Russ. And still the Bucks were able to win by more than a possession. I get it was close late, but it didn't feel like the Bucks were going to lose this game, mostly because Giannis is just a monster and he's certifiably just an unstoppable beast at this point. I think the Lakers have a long way to go. They'll be better by the season's end, but right now the defense hasn't been good enough, and that does include Anthony Davis.
Let's swing to our next game on the slate. We got Suns Mavericks, a close finish between these two teams. Phoenix coming out on top 105-98. This was like the way this game kind of felt. The Suns felt very much not like firmly in control of this game, but there was just these moments where you think, okay, the Mavericks don't have Luka. When are they going to fall apart? And they did a really good job of not falling apart up until like the very final minutes. And that was where it finally kicked in. Even though you look up and down, and the Suns did not have a great game by any stretch of the imagination. Chris Paul struggled, 7 points, 2 of 12 shooting. Devin Booker, 11 of 21, you know, not the greatest efficiency on the evening for him, although he had an insane triple at the end of the game, deep in the shot clock, you know, few steps behind the 3-point line comfortably. But it was one of those things where not having Luka out there, the Mavericks played hard. They fought well, but down the stretch, they didn't execute. They missed a couple timely buckets that would have helped them, you know, stay in this game till the very end. Chris Paul had an insane play. He was falling, got fouled, pushed out of bounds by Kristaps Porzingis, and the point guard himself turns around midair and catches DeAndre Ayton, you know, cutting towards the basket, basically saves the possession out of nowhere. This was I still want to give the Mavericks credit for hanging in this game as long as they did without Luka Doncic. Like I feel like you got to give them a little bit of credit there. Tim Hardaway Jr. stepped up to the plate, 22 points. Kristaps Porzingis looked okay early on, and then as the game wore on, it took some bad shots here and there, finished with just 7 of 20, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. There was just this looming feeling of who's going to take over for the Mavericks as this game wore on.
Give me what you think is the Mavericks' net rating with Luka Doncic on court this season. Per 100 possessions, what are they at? What do you think?
Oh, off the top of my head.
Yeah. Like standard star is like plus 5. That's a usual number for a star player. You want to win about 5 points per 100 possessions with your best guy on the court.
Is it a positive number? Give me a hint.
It is not a positive number. Ooh, it is a minus 9.3, Jackson. They're outscored by 9.3 points per 100 possessions with Luka Doncic on the floor. Am I telling you that the Mavericks are better off without Luka Doncic? No, because I'm not a crazy person, Jackson. A crazy person would tell you that. What I am telling you is that the Mavericks' record is not what it seems. A very good indicator of how this game went, you mentioned, like, want to give them credit for hanging in. So in this game, Kristaps Porzingis, when he was on the court, the Mavericks outscored their opponent by 9 points. That's really good to outscore the Suns by 9 points for anybody. This is only the second time this season Kristaps Porzingis has been a positive in plus minus at the end of the game. This is the second time all season that they've outscored a 9-5 team has outscored their opponent with their second best player on the floor. I don't think that's related to Luka. I think instead when you look at this game and you go, Suns didn't play well. This was an outlier. This probably game wasn't as close as it might have looked as you felt it. I think probably you play this one back a couple of times and it doesn't go necessarily as well for the Mavericks. I continue to believe that Dallas is very much ripe for a drop off, a cliff at some point this season. Good effort, but you're supposed to play better when your star player is out. Guys are supposed to step up. That's an emotional, motivational edge. I'm always telling you this, right? Like the biggest edge in the NBA is motivational. This isn't a motivational edge spot for the Mavericks. And they still couldn't quite, not only could they not win, but they lose by 7. So decent job, but I think Dallas has real concerns. It's a fine loss without Luka. It's not a big deal. It's okay. But it was an opportunity for a feel-good win, and they couldn't get it done.
Coming up, we're going to dive into Dame Time, Blazers, Bulls. We'll get into who else we got coming up on the slate? Boston Celtics, Atlanta Hawks, as well as Wizards and Hornets. Pacers, Pistons. We got so many more games on this slate, and we're going to get to them in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because BetOnline is back and better than ever. They've got a new web interface for the start of basketball season. And look, They've got the most props, odds, and lines, more of them than you could ever imagine. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of your basketball and football action this season. So head over to their new updated website, sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% bonus. Basketball, football, NFL, boxing, UFC, Vegas casino games, all of it. They've got you covered over at BetOnline, so don't wait to take advantage of all their offers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome back to Locked On NBA. Matt Moore and Jackson Gatlin breaking down an 11-game slate in the NBA. Lots of stuff to get to. Let's go to Atlanta, where the Hawks took care of business. 110-99. Trae Young did not have what you would say an impressive scoring line. He scored 18 points on 4 of 12 shooting, but he had 11 assists, and they were fantastic in this game as the Hawks get back on track on both ends of the floor. This was a much better game than it kind of looks like eventually. I'll say this about the Celtics. Grant Williams is playing well, 18 points. Jason Tatum was fantastic, 34 points on 12 of 22 shooting, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and they're outscored by 7. They need another guy. His name is Jaylen Brown. He is not back yet. That's a problem. They still need one more guy, though. They need one more guy, and Marcus Smart has absolutely not been it. Jackson, tell me about Wizards Hornets.
Wizards Hornets was a... For the Wizards, it was an ugly game. I'm so sorry. Like, the Wizards have been playing some really good basketball, but all of their shooters decided to finally come back down to earth. But you look at the Wizards and the way that they played this basketball game. Gafford had a good game. Bradley Beal had a good game. And Montrezl Harrell had kind of just, I guess, like a solid game to his standards. And then everybody else just like fell off a cliff for the Wizards. Bradley Beal finished this game 5 of 11 from behind the three-point line. The Wizards as a team were 8 of 42.
Whew!
3 of 31 shooting for guys not named Bradley Beal from behind the three-point line. Look, this was a game, they, you know, even despite the ugly shooting, Wizards were up at the half, comfortably so. Came out in the third quarter really flat, took the foot off the gas pedal, and just took way too many like semi-contested jumpers. You know, Bradley Beal talked about it after the game. He was just, he didn't like their assertiveness in that quarter. Gafford was great. Started the game early, you know, had 10 points in the first quarter. He played really, really well. I continue to be impressed by Montrezl Harrell's impact for the Wizards. His scoring punch that he packs off the bench, the way that the Wizards shooters are able to kind of play around him offensively, I think he kind of unlocks a lot of things for them. But this was actually the Wizards' first loss this season when leading after the first quarter. They were 8-0 coming into this game after leading after one. And I mean, credit to the Hornets. They buckled down. Their defense in that third quarter was significantly better. LaMelo finished with a career high 14 assists. And every time, Matt, LaMelo dishes a dime, I'm ready for it to be a spectacular pass. The one-armed passes that he throws out there are something else. It truly is a remarkable display of basketball when he's on the court. He is must-watch TV. I'm going to say it right now. He's a top-five passer in the NBA. But we got to go to the Dame Time Blazers, who managed to survive the Chicago Bulls. Tell us about the Dame Time shenanigans.
The Blazers are unkillable. I don't understand it. Like, this is very reminiscent of last March when they went on this losing streak and there was an article about like Dame being frustrated with the direction of the team and everything looked very bad. And then they rattle off this big win streak and get themselves back into the sixth seed. Same feeling here. Like, they were absolutely a mess when they played the Nuggets just 4 days ago on Sunday. And now all of a sudden they've won two straight. They just beat the Bulls, who had knocked off both the LA teams. The Bulls had a 20-point lead in this game, and I'll be real with you, the West Coast road trip caught up with them. Like, the Bulls were in position to get this game, and they just ran out of steam in that second half, and they started missing shots. Late down the stretch, the Bulls had execution issues. DeMar DeRozan slipped and then got the ball, like, kept the ball, got up, and then took a contested fadeaway with the clock winding down instead of calling timeout. The Bulls down three, got a wide-open Zach LaVine three, and he missed it. LaVine was great in this game overall. Portland's defense buckled down. Like, they did play well in that second half. Nurkic, who looked miserable in the first half, dug himself back out and was decent. Larry Nance was really a big part of this game. But look, Dame goes 6 of 18. 6 of 18, so not a great shooting night again. But in the fourth quarter, he does wind up coming up big once again, leading that comeback. He goes 3 of 6 for 11 points in the fourth quarter. Tap that wrist. Dame time is a little bit back. Overall, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how much of this was the Blazers and how much of this was Chicago ran out of gas at the end of a West Coast road trip. They got one more game in Denver on Friday, but it's a good win for Portland. But I feel like every win with Portland just reasserts the idea that they don't need to change the roster, and the fans do not seem to be in agreement with that. Should be an interesting couple of weeks, regardless of which way this goes with Portland.
We also had the Orlando Magic upsetting the New York Knicks in the Garden. 104-98, the final score. Here to tell you about that is Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic.
Philip Rossman Reich, the host of Locked On Magic, and the Magic's walk-off interview on Valley Sports Florida just ended, and Jalen Suggs is indeed a BAMF. You need to know what that stands for. I can't help you right now because Bally will get fined. I won't. The Orlando Magic with a 104-96 win over the New York Knicks in what was really the most complete performance the Magic have had all season. They had great moments from all their young guys, with Franz Wagner scoring a humongous dunk to put the Magic up by three. Really give them some distance after they lost a 10-point lead behind a 3-point barrage from Alec Burks. But everyone had their moments, whether it was, you know, Terrence Ross, obviously the veteran, getting hot in the first half to keep the Magic in it when they were struggling to score. Cole Anthony making plays off the dribble to find guys. Mo Bamba with a big block. Wagner with the big dunk. Jalen Suggs hitting several big shots in what was probably his best game, making big defensive plays. This Magic team hasn't played a lot of close games this year. They've struggled to put together a 48-minute effort. They've struggled to withstand runs. They did all of that tonight. They withstood the run from the Knicks to start the fourth quarter. They made big plays down the stretch. They stepped up to get a humongous win. A big, big, big 104-96 victory for the Orlando Magic over the New York Knicks. It's just win number 4, but it feels really, really good. And yeah, Jalen Suggs is a BAMF.
Another game on our slate, the Miami Heat topping the New Orleans Pelicans 113-98. Pelicans now 2-14 on the season. Look, there's two very bad teams in the NBA right now. One of them is the Houston Rockets, who I know intimately, and the other is the Pelicans. And for all the problems that organization is facing with Zion Williamson and everything, I feel terrible for Willie Green that this is the first shake that he gets as a head coach. It's just tough sledding for him in his first chance to be an NBA head coach, right, Matt?
I don't think that they're lacking talent, though, is my only concern there. Like, he had Brandon Ingram tonight. Like, the Heat were without Kyle Lowry and Bam Adebayo. He's got Devontae Graham. He's got some good guys on the bench. He's got Josh Hart. That's a veteran. Like, he's got Nikhil Alexander Walker. They're not completely devoid of talent. Like, I don't look at this and go, I evaluate teams often on how many NBA guys do they have. The Pelicans have NBA guys. Something there is wrong, and I don't think it's Willie Green. I just think there's something very, very wrong at the core that means that they're not competitive. This should have been a game that they could have hung in, and they hung for a while, but this is a pretty rough one for the state of the franchise, I think.
Well, Jimmy Butler came back with some pep in his step. 31 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, a triple-double in his return to the Miami Heat lineup as they, you know, had a bit of a scary first quarter against that New Orleans team, going down 34-21, but then completely took over the rest of the way. The Miami Heat actually turned on that switch, and they're like, we're not going to lose to the team that's, you know, 2-13 and or 2-14, I should say. 2-13 before the loss, whatever. You know, not much else going on there, unfortunately, that franchise. Thankfully for the Pelicans, there's one franchise that is currently worse off than them in the NBA. We're going to talk about the situation with the Houston Rockets coming up in just a moment, as well as, hey, can the Cavaliers survive their rush of bad injury luck? And honestly, what's going on with the Indiana Pacers? All that and more coming up here in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On NBA Thursday. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen of the day. Now, for your second listen, you got to go check out Locked On NBA Fantasy Basketball. Look, if you like fantasy hoops, you got to go check out Josh Lloyd. He is the fantasy guru, expert, whatever you want to call him. You got to go check out his show. He's phenomenal. You'll love it. Go check it out. Matt, before we dive into our Stockwatch games of the evening and the storylines following them, the Minnesota Timberwolves topped the Sacramento Kings 107-97 in what wound up being a pretty ugly game, and we've got Matt George of Locked On Kings here to break it down.
If you're wondering how I sat through watching that Sacramento Kings and Minnesota Timberwolves game, this is how I did it. This is the only way to watch games like that sometimes. The Kings went into this very winnable four-game road trip with hopes of 3-1 or maybe even 4-0. Instead, they go back to Sacramento with their tail between their legs after going 1-3 against four teams with a combined 18-37 record. They lose to a Minnesota Timberwolves team who had lost 8 out of 9 games. But hey, like I've said before, the Kings are the charity case of the NBA. They're a perfect team to get right against. Congratulations to the Timberwolves for getting the win. The Kings turned the ball over 20 times. They did do a good job crashing the offensive glass, but it wasn't enough. Defensively, they fell apart in the fourth quarter. De'Aaron Fox looked good in the fourth, couldn't get a foul to save his life. And in the end, the Kings, who came into this game with the 8th best offensive rating, lose to the Timberwolves, who came into this game with the 5th worst offensive rating, and the Kings struggled to score, meaning once again, the Kings played down to the level of their competition. No surprise there. We'll talk about it, and I might do the entire Locked On Kings podcast blindfolded at this point.
Great stuff from Matt. I will say this. I think the Wolves are better than the Kings. I've been on the Wolves are fine. Everyone, please calm down. This was a big spot for them, and they got the win. It was ugly. That's how it's going to be. But I thought this was a good win for the Timberwolves. Yeah, some concerning comments after the game from Tristan Thompson, who seems a little fed up with not his teammates, but some other stuff going on there. Make sure to check out Locked On Kings for more on that. All right, Jackson, it's time. Are you ready for Stockwatch?
I am so ready for Stockwatch. Let's dive straight in. We got some ones today.
Every week on Locked On NBA, we come up with 3 takes. We buy, sell, hold, or short them. I've got 2 for Jackson. He's got 1 for me. So I'm going to go ahead and get you started with this one. Jackson, I sat through Pistons Pacers tonight because I hate myself. And I need to love myself more than to subject myself to games like that. Not only that, I had the over in that game. And good God, made that game even more miserable to watch. The Pistons beat the Pacers. I will tell you at this point, like, this game was the breaking point for me. I've been on the, like, well, you know, look, the Pacers have not been healthy, and, like, TJ Warren's still out, and they're still getting used to things. I am in full-blown, like, all right, that's it. It's time, like, blow it up. That's it. So you got to trade one of the centers, either Sabonis or Turner's got to go. It's probably going to be Turner. They have dabbled in conversations about trading Malcolm Brogdon. I don't know if that's eligible still after the extension, but if it is, then they should look at that. If they can't, they probably need to move Justin Holiday. There needs to be changes. I am concerned with this team. I am asking you now, is it time to radically change the direction of the Indiana Pacers? As I know it's early. I get that it's early, but the Pacers fall after a loss to the Detroit Pistons to 6-10. They have as many losses on the season as Detroit.
Oh, man. It's just you know, and you hit the right points. TJ Warren's still not back. Look, they've got, you know, albeit he's got a ton of experience as a head coach and a lot of success in Rick Carlisle. Like, maybe it's just he's still just trying to get to know the guy. Like, you look up and down this Pacers roster, they're incredibly talented. Yes, there's that clunky fit between Sabonis and Turner.
Yeah,
all these really solid reasons. I am not quite out on them because I feel like they have so much talent on that roster that they should be able to get this figured out and get it turned around. Is it going to happen? Is Carlisle suddenly going to be under fire halfway through the season in the hot seat because the Pacers are struggling? I don't know. I'm not ready to buy that they should blow it up. I also don't want to sell that take completely because I'm kind of with you on a bunch of those points. So I want to hold it, which is unfortunate because I feel like in our game of Stockwatch, holding is almost like a cop-out answer. But I want to hold it for now because I want to give the Pacers just a little bit more time. I hear you and I agree with you on so many of those takes, but I'm going to hold for now.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm with you though. I'm going to hold. I think, look, here's a problem, I think. Blowing it up, there has to be a direction to go, and the Pacers have always, they're very determined not to tank. Like, that's been, like, very clear. And it's hard to tank with this roster, honestly. Like, they're going to have a month where they play well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this team works its way back into the play-in. It's just... At this point, I'm kind of like, all right, but what are you really hoping for here?
The expectations were grander than the play-in, right? Is they brought in Rick? He was supposed to be the guy and like get them back, you know, launch them back into, you know, where they're supposed to be, like an actual playoff team. And so, vying for a play-in spot is not where you want to be. Honestly, play-in is kind of like a cool concept, and I love that the NBA is doing it. It adds some excitement to the end of the season. All of this, but. It's still kind of like NBA purgatory a little bit.
Yeah,
like unless you're truly like a young team on the rise and you're like, oh yeah, we're in the play-in now. This is cool. We're moving in the right direction. If you're a team with this many veteran pieces and this much talent, you know, established NBA talent, vying for the play-in is not where you want to be in the NBA landscape.
I'm selling it. I changed my mind. I just looked at the standing. They're three games back in the loss column from the Hornets in the five seed. Never mind. Like, the East is what we always, the East are who we thought they were. You want to crown them? Crown them. The East is who we thought they were, Jackson. Nothing has changed. The East is still not good enough. You got a stock watch for me?
I do have a stock watch for you. So Houston Rockets lose their 13th straight game to the one team that they have a win against this season in the OKC Thunder, who I must say, before we get to the actual stock watch component, the Thunder look like an entirely different team from when the Rockets played them earlier this season to when they play them now. Lou Dort has been playing some phenomenal basketball. He posted 34 points, 14 of 22 shooting, 4 of 11 from beyond the arc. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a relatively quiet night by his usual standards, but, you know, very much in control of the game, kind of finding himself there late in the second quarter, had a series of buckets, just getting whatever he wanted, facilitated the ball well, 15 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds on the night. Didn't shoot particularly well, 6 of 18 from the floor. The Houston Rockets are all over the place right now, Matt. Steven Silas decided that he might need a lineup change to try and work some things out. Alperen Şengün has been one of the few highlights of this Rocket season so far to this point. And after shaking up the lineup, Alperen Şengün only received 5 minutes of playing time in this game against the Thunder, much to the chagrin of Rockets fans everywhere. So I ask you this, 13 straight losses. This is a rebuilding team, yes, but this is not normal for rebuilding. This is like competing for the worst record in NBA history. They're on like a 7-win pace at this point. This is worse than process era Sixers basketball, some of what we've been watching in Houston. Should Steven Silas be in the hot seat right now?
It's a tough question. Like, I'll say this, it's a tough question. The only reason that I'm tempted to buy it is because, having watched a few of their games, including like up close in Denver and then like a few more, the telltale sign for me is, do you look organized? When you watch the Thunder are going to miss shots. They don't have a lot of talent, but they're organized. The Thunder know what they're doing on both sides of the ball. The Rockets do not. The Rockets spend so many possessions where there is literally not a pass, not one. It's just KPJ or Jalen Green dribbling up, crossing over, and shooting a step back three. That is not an offense. That is not anything. That's just getting shots up. That's shoot around with a guy in your face. And you're not hitting him. This is not the Maury Rockets. This is not the Harden Rockets. This is not 7 seconds or less. Like, this is not how they should be playing. And so I am concerned that Silas has them so disorganized. I will tell you that with the Thunder, I can, for a fact, it is all a product of top down. Like, the front office sets a tone for every single section of the organization, from front office, scouting, analytics, coaching, trainers, development coaches, players, G League, on down. Everybody's got a professionalism. I have been concerned about the Rockets' direction since a certain owner took over. Now, I don't necessarily know that he's the intervening factor here. I am just saying that I think that, to me, there's a lack of cohesion. And this was, look, we talked about this in the summer when it was like, the Rockets are going to be so much fun. And I tried to be like, it's not fun when you're losing. And these guys don't know, I don't think they know how to play. They don't know how to win. And this is one of the concerns, honestly, with Kevin Porter Jr. Like, I think you could be okay if it was just Jalen Green. Like, if you were starting, I know this sounds awful, if you were starting DJ Augustine next to Jalen Green, for Augustine to be the one to be like, no, 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 go over there. No, you, okay, come up. We're going to do, no, you come stand here. I'm going to come off, and then they're going to have to help, and I'm going to kick it to Jalen. Like, somebody to do that. But their level of disorganization is concerning. I am not going to buy, because I do not want to blame Silas for everything that's going on with this roster, and they knew the deal coming in. They should have known the deal coming in. I will say it's not been great, but I will tentatively sell on Silas with the hope that as they get more NBA caliber guys that are bought in, that things can improve.
I'm tentatively selling as well. And it's we're 2 for 2 now on matching. So maybe, well, never mind. You changed your mind on the last one. But, you know, despite the grievances of Rockets fans everywhere for the rotations, the game management from Steven Silas, I have seen glimpses of him being willing to try things, move things around. Ultimately, he's got Kevin Porter Jr., who he has basically given the keys to the offense to learning a brand new role in point guard. They've benched John Wall. And ultimately, even in this game where there was, you know, kind of a head scratching moment of, okay, Alperen Şengün only played 5 minutes. He's been one of your biggest impact players, even though you've lost 13 straight games now, he's been one of your biggest impact players. How does that happen? He decided to prioritize spacing. He decided to make shifts to the lineup to prioritize spacing, and it worked. It looked better. They opened up the driving lanes. Jalen Green had stretches in this game where he looked a lot more comfortable because he was actually able to drive into the paint for once instead of it being clogged up because they had two bigs out there in Christian Wood, Daniel Theis, and defenses weren't respecting the spacing. Things were opening up. So I'm respecting his ability to change things and recognize, okay, this is not working. We've got to change this. We've got to do this. I'm not completely out on Steven Silas quite just yet. I don't think he should be in the hot seat, in hot water at this moment. So I'm selling that. I know you've got one more for me. What are we doing?
I got one more for you. The Nets take care of business tonight on the back-to-back. I was a little concerned that maybe the starters wouldn't play on the back-to-back, but they did. They took the easy win. KD goes for 23 points. Harden goes for 27 on 6 of 12. Mills with 21. They got scoring from the guys that they needed to, and they beat the Cavaliers, who were extremely shorthanded, 109-99. Starting lineup for the Cavaliers tonight: Jackson, Darius Garland, Ricky Rubio, Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro, and Ed Davis started at center. Whew. On the injured list for them: Colin Sexton, Evan Mobley, Lauri Markkanen, Jared Allen. Like, everyone was making fun of them for having these three bigs, and all of them are on the shelf somehow. They somehow are without all three of them. Mobley's out several weeks with the elbow. So I'll ask you this. Last year, the Cavaliers actually started off pretty well, and then injuries hit, and they never recovered. Buy or sell, the Cavaliers once again are not going to be able to survive this bad run of injury luck. It takes them off a cliff, and they never recover from it.
I'm going to buy it.
Woo.
I'm going to buy it. I think that... And this is without even looking at like the schedule or anything. I think the Cavaliers were kind of playing a little bit above, like playing, outplaying themselves a little bit, you know, kind of playing above, you know, traditional expectations for them. They've got, you know, a nice crop of talent. Garland, Sexton have been playing out of their minds. Rubio has been great for them. Mobley's been obviously one of the front runners right now for the Rookie of the Year award. He's been playing some impressive basketball, but I don't see a way for them to survive this stint without all of those guys. Cause we gotta walk through this a little bit. Allen is gone for how many weeks?
I don't have the information off the top of my head.
Mobley's gone for how many weeks? They're all gone for so many chunks of time, right?
Allen's out with illness. He should be back pretty soon. Mobley's out 2 to 4 weeks. So Allen should be back. Like, he's been sick, non-COVID, should be back soon. Markkanen, I don't know about.
Because Markkanen's been out for a minute now.
Yeah, he's been out for a while. They're shorthanded.
I'm still going by. I already thought, you know, the Cavaliers, and this was going to be something, this was going to be a stock watch that I wanted to do last week with you, and I wanted to pump the brakes on it. You know, are the Cavaliers legitimate this season, right? Are they legitimate? Is their defense real? Are they going to be able to maintain for the whole season? I can see them missing these pieces, falling down the rabbit hole of losses, and then not actually being able to bounce back from it once the rest of the schedule kind of starts setting in. So I'm going to buy.
I'm going to sell. And the reason I'm going to sell is the team has been really good with Darius Garland on court, and that's helped a lot. I think that they're getting a little bit better production from some of the guys that I have big questions about, like Chetty Osman, who's played a little bit better. Here's a big part of it. So, I mean, look, Mobley, it hurts for sure. 2 to 4 weeks is bad, but that still gets him back for the back half of the schedule. I don't think they have any intention of tanking. They got no real incentive to with, I think this team's too good, and you start losing guys if you get to that point, right? I think that they can probably make this work. Now, they're going to get Lauri Markkanen back. He was out with conditioning coming back from COVID. We'll see how he returns. Like, that could be a question mark. But I do think at the end of the day, like, Rubio Allen is enough of a 1-2 combo with what Garland is giving them, I think, to sustain a little bit. I think that they are – it's razor thin. I think they probably fall from, like, this is a playoff team to – this is a play-in team, I think. And that's pretty good. That's a step forward for them as they try and figure out what the future is. It gives them like a, the biggest thing that they're doing right now is they're just figuring out, you know what, Darius Garland's for real and Evan Mobley's for real, and we can work around those two. And if that's the case, I think that's enough for them to hang in there. I want to believe that this year will be different for them and that they won't fall off a cliff. They also lost Nance for a long time last season, and by the time he got back, the season was kind of already toast. I think the Cavs will be able to sustain themselves for long enough to hang in. I am selling that the Cavs won't be able to recover. And with that, Jackson, we did it. 11 games in the slate, and we didn't take an hour to do it, buddy.
Oh, man. Well, it was a fun 11-game slate, honestly. There were a bunch of really kind of down-to-the-wire finishes, some great performances all around. It was a great night across the NBA landscape.
I wouldn't know, because after I watched Pacers Pistons, my eyes bled out of my head. But, you know, other than that.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the bullet for taking the unfun games. I'm not catching strays from Pacers and Pistons fans here, okay? I don't want to do that.
That's our best player of the season.
Anyways, with that is going to do it. If you haven't done so, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. This show is free and available on all platforms you can imagine: Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app. Be sure to check us out. Make Locked On NBA your first listen of the day. Also available now on YouTube. So go check out the show there. Hit subscribe. See us in high quality 4K, high definition resolution. You can see all of the faces that Matt makes at me when I come out with crappy takes. It's all kinds of fun on the YouTube channel. So with that, that's going to be it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On NBA.